You know, you get one right every once in a while, like I just was talking about with the Ja Morant over Zion Williamson. I mean, I wasn't the only one to say that, but a lot of people met that with criticism. Mark Knutson, author of The Inside Pitch, former Major League pitcher. You know, he's got the first step of getting one right. He's our CRP 4x4 VIP guest. Mark, last week you said that Jim Harbaugh might be the next coach of the Denver Broncos. We saw the article come out yesterday saying that he'd be willing to come back to the NFL.
Well, you know, criticism? What do you mean criticism? I'm not familiar with that term.
Not at all.
I threw it out there because, everybody wants to make, you can certainly make a case that there should be a change at head coach right now. You can make that case. I don't believe that because of Joe Ellis. I think who does the hiring system is important and has proven over the last decade to be the case. Joe Ellis was the one who fired Mike Shanahan. It wasn't Pat Bowlen. It was Joe Ellis. Okay. When John Elway was brought into the mix, Joe Ellis hired Josh McDaniels. John Elway was given autonomy over the football by Pat Bowlen. He hired John Fox. He hired Gary Kubiak. Then Elway starts to fade, and they bring in Vance Joseph and Vic Fangio. I don't want Joe Ellis or anybody making this hire. I just don't, because I don't trust them. Now, if Jim Harbaugh fell in their lap, great. That would be wonderful. I think you want somebody with a pedigree like Jim Harbaugh has. Nobody else has been to the college football final playoffs and the Super Bowl as head coach. You know, Pete Carroll won them both, but he didn't, he's employed already. So he just fits the parameters of somebody I would want. Dan Quinn has been tossed around. Okay, how is Dan Quinn much different than Vic Fangio, to be honest with you? Is there another Sean McVay or another Kyle Shanahan out there? I don't know. Maybe there is. But Harbaugh checks all the boxes for me. And I heard a lot of criticism yesterday of him on the radio. Oh, he's just trying to do this to get a new contract in Michigan. Well, if you say that, then you haven't read up on what's going on with Jim Harbaugh recently. He took a pay cut last year to stay at Michigan. And this year he was given a bonus for making the Big Ten. He gave it back to the university and said disperse this to the employees who were impacted by COVID. So, honestly, Jim Harbaugh is not about money. He's not a money guy. He's got money. He wants to coach football. And I think he'd be a good fit here in Denver. However, if Jim Harbaugh, as he announced yesterday, wants to come back to the NFL, there's going to be competition for his services. The Raiders obviously are going to be in the mix, right? They need a head coach. There's going to be attractive jobs out there with a franchise quarterback in place already, like David Carr. Maybe the Broncos can't compete for Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, it's an interesting look at it. I think that's a hire that people would get behind. Does the fact that George Payton going to have a little bit of say this? It's not just all Joe Ellis. Do you think that has any sort of effect on it?
That's what you hope. You hope it can be a George Payton. I mean, he's only been on the year for 1 year, but he's done a good job to this point, right? We're all happy with George Payton. He inherited Vic Fangio. He inherited his coaching staff. What he has his fingerprints on is the draft, and that's looking pretty good right now. So I think I would be happy if they say, okay, this is just going to be a George Payton hire. Okay, I guess I could live with that. But knowing how Joe Ellis has been in the past, Joe Ellis is the opposite of Pat Bowlen in that Joe Ellis is a money first guy. He's about the money, not about the football team. He wants to do both, but he wants to do it on a budget. And Pat Bowlen spared no expense. Joe Ellis spares every expense. So I don't even know if Joe Ellis would allow a general manager like George Payton to spend what he would have to spend to get Jim Harbaugh or somebody like that here. That's my concern.
I think Dick Monfort might have a job opening for Joe Ellis. I think that might be a match made in heaven.
Yeah, you could be exactly right. You could be absolutely right.
Well, and so Jim Harbaugh tossed out there. But I think it's pretty clear in a very muddy future for the Denver Broncos, a new coaching staff is very desperately needed, and a new quarterback is desperately needed. And with rumors swirling of Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, what would a hire of Jim Harbaugh do?
I'm not so sure you could hire a new coach before you had one of those guys, right? If you could get Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers in place, then that makes an attractive job for Jim Harbaugh. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is already playing for a guy who's going to be the coach of the year, Matt LaFleur. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is leaving Green Bay, personally. I don't know. Why would you? Why are you going to leave the best team in the league? It makes no sense. The guy's an icon where he's at, can do what he pleases, say what he pleases, obviously, and he's in a perfect situation. Why would he possibly want to leave there? Russell Wilson, on the other hand, might be looking for a change of scenery. He might be somebody that you could get here as a stopgap. His best years are behind him. You're looking at a stopgap, a guy that you might bring him in and draft a quarterback to groom and bring along. And maybe you've got something for the future as well. But I'm not so sure what order those two things happen in, because if you're going to hire an established name coach, he's probably going to want an established quarterback in place before he takes the job.
Well, and in the same front, can you get one of those quarterbacks to come if they've got the current coaching staff in place?
Very, very strong point. That's why, go back to what you just said about a muddy future. That's exactly what it is. That's a perfect word for it. It is muddy. And the sooner they can get this rectified with the ownership, the better. But I guess in lieu of that, what you said about George Payton taking a leading role would be the next best thing to getting a new owner. If Joe Ellis says, I'm out of here in March, I'm not going to be involved in this, John Elway's retiring, we're not involved in this, George Payton, it's your game. You take care of it. I think Bronco fans would accept that.
Yeah, I think Broncos fans would be ecstatic about that. And it's interesting because you look across the AFC West, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, Patrick Mahomes, Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock not going to be the answer.
No, absolutely not. I mean, they're both – Teddy Bridgewater is Gary Kubiak 2.0. He's the quintessential backup quarterback, a guy who's not going to get you beat, but he's not going to win you games. He's just going to be a guy, a filling guy. Drew Lock, I have no idea what his future is. He's played better the last couple weeks, except for scoring points. But again – got a COVID decimated team. You know, this week he's going to get to play four downs, right? He's going to play four downs every series regardless because they don't have a punter or a kicker. So he's obviously been handicapped a little bit, but you've seen more out of the wide receivers with Drew Lock than you did with Teddy Bridgewater. But yeah, long term, if you look at Drew Lock, is he in the same category with those other three guys in our division? No, he's not, clearly. So you got to find somebody. And again, I was in the press box when Nevada played Colorado State. And I watched Carson Strong play, and I watched George Payton sitting 20 feet to my right with his eyes glued on Carson Strong the entire time. He even watched Carson Strong walk off the field at halftime just to make sure he wasn't injured. And he intently stood about 5 feet from me staring at Carson Strong walking off the field. So I know the Broncos are interested in Carson Strong. How much interest, I don't know. But they've got to draft, for the first time in their history, find a quarterback in the draft. They've never done it. They've never found a long-term answer quarterback in the draft. And they've got to do that if they're going to ultimately be successful with those other three teams you mentioned, who all signed got those quarterbacks out of the draft.
Well, and as we continue this conversation here with Mark Knutson, our CRP 4x4 VIP guest, you know, the Broncos have a little bit of a history of not wanting to draft out of the Mountain West. We saw him pass on Josh Allen, and that's turned around to bite him.
Yeah, that was weird because John Elway spent a lot of time watching Josh Allen. He went to his bowl game practices. He spent a lot of time, you know, he's right up the street. You can go watch him in Laramie. All indicators were that the Broncos were very interested in Josh Allen. And then I'm going to say this right now, they whiffed on Bradley Chubb. I'm sorry, people love Bradley Chubb. Has not turned out to be a good draft pick.
No, not for as high as they drafted him.
Right.
If he's a second-round pick, you're happy with him. At number five, you're not.
I don't know about happy. I mean, the guy hasn't played, and the best ability is availability. And you're too young to remember Mike Kroll. Outside linebacker, pass rush guy they drafted in Nebraska back in the 90s, who had a bang-up rookie, all first-team all-rookie team, great season as a rookie, vanished off the face of the earth after that, just completely vanished. And that's Bradley Chubb. He's Mike Cole 2.0. He hasn't done anything here to warrant that draft pick, and they passed on Josh Allen, and they passed on Quentin Nelson, an all-pro guard, who's an all-pro, not Pro Bowl, all-pro as a rookie. At a position that the Broncos desperately needed help at, offensive guard, and they passed on him too. So, no, their drafting under the Elway regime was not good, and it's a head scratcher why they passed on a guy like Josh Allen. But I hope they don't look at a guy and say, "Oh, Mountain West didn't play any good competition." That's not what it's about. Where are the best quarterbacks coming from these days? Where'd Ben Roethlisberger go to school? Miami of Ohio.
Right. You know,
Carson Wentz went to North Dakota State. The best, the most prolific college teams are running the RPOs. You know, they're running, their quarterbacks are running guys, dual threat guys, not necessarily NFL guys. So you're not getting your best quarterbacks just out of the Power 5 schools anymore. I hope that Jay Norvell's track record is such that the Broncos will look at him and say, I don't care what league he played in, this guy knows how to play football. And he could do some good things for us.
Well, I need to check myself there, too. Is Brett Rypien is on the team right now as a third string, and he did play in the Mountain West. So it hasn't always entirely been like that.
Well, but, I mean, Brett Rypien wasn't a high draft pick either, right?
He
was a throw-in guy at the end of the year. And You know, some of us might have to see him play a little more and see what he can do. But and maybe he'll get to on Saturday. But nonetheless, I think when you're talking about high-profile draft picks, just making a sexy pick is not necessarily the right pick all the time, and it hasn't been for the Broncos. Boy, they've got to hit on a quarterback. They just have to. I mean, and they have to keep drafting quarterbacks year after year after year until they finally get on one.
I've always been interested in this, Mark. I want to know what your take is. Does a guy like George Payton and Vic Fangio, do they listen to the outside noise of what these fans are wanting? And I would have to assume that on Saturday, it's not going to be a great crowd in attendance.
Attendance speaks volumes. If you're talking about listening to noise, that's the noise. It's the silent noise, but it's the no-shows, right? The no-shows say a lot to a ownership and a general manager, more so than a coach or players. But people, you know, no butts in the seats is a bad thing for a football team. Apathy is worse than boos. I mean, you'd rather hear the boos than hear silence. So, yes, that does matter to them. That part, they're not worried about Twitter. They're not worried about what you and I are saying on the radio or anything like that. But they are worried about the paying customers not showing up and not being satisfied. And you know, they know they're not, their heads are not in the sand. They certainly know that what's gone on this year has not worked. I mean, you think about it. Yesterday, I was listening, and they're 4-10 in their last 14 games against one of the weaker schedules in the NFL. And granted, one of those wins was over Dallas, shockingly. One was over the Chargers, shockingly. But losses to Philadelphia and stuff like that, and it just, yeah, it's been a very, I mean, it's been a better season than previous seasons, but that's not, that bar is set very low anyway. So I'm not sure that anybody, you can look at this season as a success in any fashion.
No, I don't think it is. I don't see any way that you can term any of what's happened for the Broncos a success. Saturday, Chiefs, Broncos, I think the spread's like 10. The Broncos are 10-point dogs. Do you see them being competitive in this?
Well, it's one of those, the Chiefs need to win to secure home field, so you're going to see the Chiefs play their starters and all that. But the idea that the Broncos don't have a kicker or a punter is should be enough for the national media just to pay attention, right? Are you going to play a game without it? I mean, obviously they've got to have somebody on the roster that can kick, right? Some practice squad or something. They're going to have somebody, but I'm reading that they're not going to punt and they're going to go for two every time. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine a Vic Fangio team not trying field goals. That's what they're best at. But it'll be fun to watch it. But I'll ask you this. Are you happy that there's a 17th regular season game?
No,
I kind of feel like it's over.
I'm ready for the misery to be done.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling like that 16 regular game. They should have left it at 16 games. That's just how it feels. It feels like it should be playoff time right now. But certainly not for the Broncos.
No, it's not. And yeah, just add one more loss on the total, I guess. I don't know, Manny. I am so tired of non-competitive Denver Broncos teams. But, Mark, we're in Broncos country. I know they get a lot of the headlines. We still got two really good teams playing at Ball Arena.
We sure do. And, you know, again, I said this last week, Nikola Jokic is on pace to have the greatest statistical season in NBA history. Let that sink in a little bit. NBA history, the greatest statistical season in NBA history, and he's not even getting a sniff for MVP. He's not going to get a sniff for it. It's already been given to Steph Curry or Kevin Durant. And Giannis is in that mix, and Ja Morant's in that mix. I mean, there's just all sorts of guys who are going to finish ahead of hell, I wouldn't be shocked if Kyrie Irving finishes ahead of Nikola Jokic in the voting. That's how poorly respected he is. But he is a joy to watch, and if he just had some help, and I don't know if we can count on Jamal Murray this year or not, I'd still like to see the Nuggets. They pulled off a great trade last year getting Aaron Gordon. I'd like to see another one of those. Give this team a fighting chance in the playoffs, because Michael Porter is not going to be helping you in the playoffs. I'd like to see him get a fighting chance, but we'll see. The Avs have more than a fighting chance. The Avs, again, have navigated this COVID shutdown pretty well based on the last few games, right? They're playing really good hockey. Now they've got that other shutdown, the Olympic shutdown coming up. Who knows what else will happen with COVID. So a lot of landmines for them to navigate. And we said it last year. We both picked them to win it last year. There's no reason not to pick them to win it now, but you know, who knows what will happen.
Did you see Cale Makar's goal last night in overtime?
That was sensational. That was absolutely just the move to even start the other direction and spin around and go back to the guy. I mean, that was just remarkable. That guy is just a remarkable talent, and we're just fortunate to have him here. We got a lot of guys like that. I mean, and Nathan MacKinnon, he's been better lately, but he hasn't even had a good year.
Yeah,
he's not even their best player.
I'm not a big hockey guy, but watching that last, I couldn't help but marvel at that move made by Cale Makar. Yeah.
Figure skaters don't make that move, right? They do spins in the air. They don't make that move. That was just incredible. and to score like that, and there was no place for the puck to go, and he got it in there somehow. You know, he's really, really talented. And they have a lot of those guys on this team, and when they put it together, they're really tough to beat. It's a head scratcher what happened to him last year.
Yeah, it certainly is.
We can hope that doesn't happen again, because they deserve a parade.
They absolutely do. Talking with Mark Knutson, author of The Inside Pitch. Mark, what'd you write about in The Inside Pitch this week?
Well, you know, when the calendar turns, it's baseball season around here, right? Colleges are amping up. College players are amping up. 6 weeks from the UNC Bears opener. 6 weeks till the UNC Bears play a real baseball game. In California, obviously. But the crux of the article is about the sluggishness with which local college and high school programs are adapting to putting artificial turf on their baseball fields. You see a lot of artificial turf football fields on high school campuses now, but you don't see baseball. And it's really hard, trust me, I'm a high school coach, it's really hard to play baseball here in March and April on dirt and grass fields, because you have to wait for snow to melt and dry and blah, 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 and you get games backed up. It just makes economic sense, because you save money on water and maintenance. It makes all sense in the world for high schools and colleges. Some colleges have already. UNC or Metro has. UCCS has. Colorado Christian has. UNC has not yet. It makes sense for these guys to start putting turf fields down so we can play baseball in the spring.
Well, I think that's a whole nother conversation, too, but I think a good point would be to could we talk about moving the baseball season into the fall? I mean, that's the weather's been way nicer in that area.
Well, last year we moved it into May. We didn't start till the end of April last year.
Right.
And we didn't have any disruptions with the weather. But it was compacted. It was tight. And the summer programs are going to fight you on that. The club programs are going to fight you on that. They do play softball in the spring already. And you got football. A school like mine, where we have very small, it's a very small school, but we don't have a lot of athletes. A lot of them play both football and baseball. You couldn't do that if you played in the fall. So I'm an advocate for pushing it back a little bit, starting in April or late mid-April, May sometime. Late April sounds right to me. And get rid of, not even try to play baseball in March around here, but that's not how Chassa does it. So,
yeah, no, I like it, Mark. Hey, are you going to be coming up to the Friends of Baseball event coming up later this month?
I'm going to definitely try to be there for that.
I haven't been
to one in a long time. I need to be there for that.
I'll be emceeing too, so it'll be a familiar face.
Well, then it'll be great.
There you go. It's got to be great. Right. You get a donut and you get to hear me talk more.
What's the date on? What's it? February? Early February?
Late January. January 29th, okay. I think.
All right. Well, send me the info. I'll have to get there.
All right. I like it. Mark Knutson, thanks so much, man.
Bye.
That's Mark Knutson there, author of The Inside Pitch, former major league pitcher as well. I love the insight. Love the insight from him. Hey, Method Flow Products, they're an advocate for the oil and gas industry. Like I said, money makes the world go round, and there's no better money here in Northern Colorado for everybody than when the oil and gas industry is booming in a safe and responsible way. The products that Method Flow Products put out there ensures that happens. It's Method Flow Products in Eaton, Matt Beeman and Company. 10:51 the time. Let's get a break. We'll come back, get the headline that caught our eye, wrap up this edition of NOCO Now next on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.